Welcome to the Mastermind Your Launch podcast, broadcasting live on Business Radio X. Your place for weekly entrepreneurial lessons from Atlanta's most inspiring technology startups. And now your host, Stephanie Diaz.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Mastermind Your Launch on Business Radio X. I am your host, Stephanie Diaz, and I'm so excited that you're joining me here in the Roswell Infinity Studios at Digital Ignition in Alpharetta. We have an awesome show on deck. This is actually a repeat guest. Bring him back. I was trying to look back and see what episode number you were, because we're up in the 80s now, and you were probably in the teens back in the day.
But, that was early on. I was a part of the very beginning of the Stephanie Diaz empire that's underway here.
We'll talk all about that. For the listeners, I'll let you know who is that voice that you're hearing. Brad Stevens, the CEO of Entraholic. Welcome, Brad.
Thanks for having me. Excited to regroup and catch up.
Oh my gosh. I mean, you really were there from like the beginning. And it was our mutual love of Entrepreneur on Fire, the podcast.
That's right.
That made us lifelong friends. You know, on this, before we kind of dive into the interview and everything that has happened, you know, since our last meeting, and we'll have to share the story, you know, about all of that. You know, I just want to share that one of the things that is continuously rewarding in this journey is the people.
Sure.
And especially when, you know, when you can look back and see how far you've come, that's always a really special moment. But when you can look back and see the people that are still by your side, that is a really cool moment. I've spoken a lot on the show about the WOE event, WOE, Women Only Entrepreneurs, that was hosted last month. You can check it out at woeatl.com, woeatl.com. But there was a moment where several people that were at that first event that you and I, you know, the marketing mastery, that was in October of 2015, and we'll tell the story about that. I had several clients that I got from that event, and they've gone on, like they were my clients, they've gone on to do their own thing. They all had a table at WOE sitting together. And some of them I hadn't seen in a year maybe. And it was just incredible to see that tribe still there, you know? And so I don't know, it just really means a lot when people kind of stay in close touch, for sure. So thank you for being
here. Certainly. I say entrepreneurs honestly have a more of a like immediate rapport than even family relationships sometimes. You know, I always talk about that. I mean, once you meet another entrepreneur, that you immediately see in each other's eyes what it takes to make that happen. So there's an immediate respect that occurs there. And I think that, you know, is long lasting for sure. And I have the same kind of relationship. So I certainly understand.
Yeah, totally. So why don't you tell us first, tell us a little bit about Entraholic and what Entraholic is all about.
Sure. So Entraholic, I mean, I've been a lifelong entrepreneur. I grew up in it. And so I've had, you know, started companies in a number of different industries and manufacturing and distribution and software and professional services. And so Entraholic is actually a URL that I reserved, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago when I had my other company. And I didn't know what it would be. It was this whole addiction to entrepreneurship. Would it be a blog or a book or, you know, wasn't sure. But in starting my most recent company, decided, you know, it's this addiction to entrepreneurial type thinking. And, you know, entrepreneurship is at its all-time high. I mean, the barriers to entry to get in are as low as they've ever been. You know, everybody's got a Shark Tank type of mentality as far as just the vibe and the ability to kind of be an entrepreneur and launch is, you know, greater than it's ever been. So I used kind of taking that momentum and Entraholic and my deep passion for entrepreneurship. And we basically have evolved into a variety of services where we provide innovative growth and execution solutions for small to medium businesses. And that's a combination of providing fully outsourced digital marketing strategy and execution services, processes and systems to develop your goals as a company and how to execute on them, which is a big challenge for a lot of companies is, you know, we can provide all the marketing services in the world, but unless you know what your goals are and how you're going to execute on them. Provide some advisory in that area as well. So we're kind of, you know, media advisory and consultation around innovative growth and execution strategies for companies.
And I have to say, I mean, just for the listeners, you know, I've had the pleasure of seeing you present on multiple occasions, actually, on the topic of digital marketing. The same response happens every time, where basically you just blow everyone's mind because there's so much that we don't even know that we can do. You know, there's so many different strategies that you know, they say you only know as much as you know, and you don't know what you don't know. You're right. That person that shows us what we don't know when it comes to digital marketing. That's for sure.
Yeah. And it's, you know, much broader even than digital marketing. I mean, at the end of the day, it's, you know, sales and marketing in companies is way different than it's ever been. And it's changing at a rapid pace. I mean, you know, this infographic that they do at MarTech every year, it's gone from 100 to over 4,000 marketing technology products in 4 years. That's tremendous. And to just keep up with it, you know, sort of small, medium business, you and I go in business and we're passionate about, you know, manufacturing and selling coffee cups. Now we got to figure out this whole sales and marketing ecosystem. So
right.
You know, it's very overwhelming. There's a lot of different components and tools and stuff that are out there. So it's kind of understanding the whole ecosystem and also how it blends with traditional, right? It's not just digital, but how, you know, good old picking up the phone and feet on the street still is applicable. And how can you use digital marketing technology and strategy and tools to help, you know, supplement that? And a lot of what I talk about in those workshops, like you're sharing, is the whole ability to leverage a global team of outsourcers and freelancers to get things done. You know, if you're a company just trying to get out of the ground, you need to get a logo done, or you need to get a website done, or you're trying to, you know, get a list of leads. I've really become a huge fan of, and you know, a thought leader, and from the speaking I've done on how to leverage freelancers and outsourcers to execute work cost effectively when you're trying to get a company out of the ground.
And some people really struggle with that. Out of the gate, you know, because usually you're starting your business by yourself, you're doing everything by yourself, and you have control over the finished, you know, the quality of the finished product,
right,
whatever you're doing. And it's really hard to start relinquishing that control and to turn it over to someone else, especially if it's someone that you've never met in person. You know, these freelancers that you find on Fiverr and Upwork and other platforms like that. So what have you seen as far as like people's hesitancy, and how do they kind of overcome that when it comes to leveraging that virtual team?
Well, first, and to cover on the, you know, to expand on the word there, it is all about leverage, right? It's leveraging your time, your money, and your resources. And this is just one way of doing it, using freelancers and outsourcers. And yeah, when I speak on it, I talk about how much it's evolved. Because yeah, before the platforms weren't as good in terms of vetting and making sure that people were qualified and you know what kind of quality you were getting. Well, the platforms have evolved tremendously. So when you go on now, you can look at people's full history. These platforms, if they come on there and say that they're an expert in SEO or they're an expert in graphic design, they actually have tests that they make them take so you can see how they scored and rated on that work. You can look at all their history and their performance because these people live and breathe. There's 10 million people mm-hmm. on Upwork alone one platform, 10 million people globally.
You so might just fighting. Need to outsource someone to manage your Upwork.
Outsource that. Dream within a dream. Outsourcing your outsourcing.
I know. Enter Entreholic.
But it's, and yeah, we actually have a virtual assistant that we work with that is actually doing that exact role. So that is now posting jobs on Upwork, reviewing the candidates, evaluating them, you know, seeing what's a good fit. So yeah, the platforms and Fiverr, you know, is another one. And there's a number that are out there, 123 employee and freelancer.org. But yeah, they've gotten much better at vetting and making sure people are quality, because at the end of the day, if they don't do a good job and they don't do good quality work, get back and perform, you know, they're going to get poor ratings. They're going to be off the system. So they
right.
are highly motivated mm-hmm. to do a good job. And the other thing is that financially, like Upwork, like holds the money in escrow. So if you go to hire someone to do a job, they say it's going to be $100. They'll charge you and hold the money in escrow. So the freelancer knows you're good for the money, but it doesn't get released until the job's completed and
I
you're
like
happy
that.
With the quality.
Right.
So yeah, there's still a method to the madness of kind of evaluating and then communicating with them is another big thing, like using Screencast-O-Matic and these mm-hmm. screencasting tools. That is a game changer in terms of communication. So there's some other pieces and parts to it, but the platforms have improved so you can really trust the quality you're getting.
Right. Well, and I know I was definitely one of those people that like just couldn't even imagine outsourcing and definitely did a lot of functions of my business by myself for way too long. But I will say once you start making that transition and you give a task to someone and then they do it and it's done and you didn't do anything, they did it while you were working right. on more important activities, then you start to say, this is amazing. It opens up a whole new way of thinking and a way of running your business that I really enjoy now.
It's really a mindset. I mean, when I talk on this, I say, look, first of all, before I talk about all the tactics and, you know, these platforms, first of all, you have to embrace a concept of leverage and leveraging your time and money appropriately. And then here's the tactics that you use to, you know, to do it. And yeah, once you build that, you know, they do a good job on a couple of things and you start building a rapport. Like I've got a content writer I've been using for 6 years right now. She's a stay-at-home mom in Baltimore and is just an unbelievable content writer. Writes blogs. I can like do a voice memo and send it to her and she'll turn it into an amazing article. They get a vibe and feel for kind of your flow. And I say I have an 85% rule. If I can use an outsourcer and they get 85% of the way there and actually gets done versus not getting done because of being a control freak about it.
Yeah.
You know, call that a win. So it's choosing the right tasks and things to execute and building a good rapport. Then you build a black book of your outsourcers and freelancers that you use. I mean, I got about 35 now that just I trust tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really going to be the marketing department of the future. It's going to be someone that works internally as an employee of a company, but they are a maestro over an orchestra of qualified freelancers and outsourcers. And it's not just international. That's the other misconception. Everybody thinks it's, you know, some other crazy foreign country. It's not. I mean, you know, there's people right here in the U.S. I mean, I got a graphic designer, stay-at-home mom in Boston. I've been using for 7 years that does incredible work for fractions of what you would pay an agency to do something. I send her literally a logo and a Word document and she turns it into a 4-page, you know, white paper in like 3 days. Very low cost for less than like $150. I mean, it's tremendous.
I love it. And just for the listeners, Brad has a special resource for you to get started on this. So stick around to the end and he's going to share that. Haha. We'll keep you on the line. So I want to talk a little bit about this Business Action Labs that you are working on right now. Share with us what that's all about.
Sure. So some of the stuff we were just talking about as far as freelancers and outsourcers and how does all that work. I kept getting more people interested and wanted me to come speak and share how I've done and what I've done, you know, for clients that are at a place where they can't, you know, afford paying for, you know, us executing all the services for them. I wanted to have a scalable, you know, solution to give people. And so really kind of got into learning the whole online, creating online courses. And so so Business Action Labs is kind of the outcome of that. And it's basically, you know, at the end of the day in our businesses, we wake up every day and we got a bunch of things that need to get done, right? Operation stuff and finance stuff and marketing stuff and which do I do and how do I do? And so my goal with this was to provide a solution so that if we wake up today and say, look, I've got to get a video done for my business. I know I've been needing to do it. I need an animated video so I can use it on YouTube and send it to people to explain what we do. But I don't know where to start. I hear about all these outsourcing things, but I don't know which one to use. Do I do an animated one or a whiteboard video? And so with Business Action Labs, what I've done is basically taken all the experience and case studies I've done with my companies and clients and so forth and wrapped it up into 15-minute labs on very specific topics. So you can log in. It's $39 a month to get access to the labs. You log in and within 15 minutes or less, you can see case studies, video case studies of exactly examples of things, how we did it, the tools to use to resource, and then vetted vendors that we've already found on these outsourced platforms that do great work that we'll recommend that you can use. So everything from data scraping, which is probably one of the most valuable things I've ever learned as an entrepreneur, is how to outsource and use outsourcers to data scrape for very targeted leads. It's unbelievable. I could talk for 20 minutes just on that. But automated LinkedIn, I got an outsourcer that will log in and manage my entire LinkedIn account, do the messaging, join groups, do all of the work back and forth, video development, website development, creating nurture emails, you know, setting up marketing automation systems, like all of that stuff you can get outsourcers to do. And Business Action Labs just provides a quick turnkey starting point to let people know how to do it, how to get it built in vetted vendors. And we have a private Facebook group and, you know, creating a whole community around it.
Honestly, just the list of vetted vendors is worth the $39 a month. If you save me, you know, just a half an hour of sorting through Upwork and all of that stuff, just to show me who you've already worked with and have had a positive experience with, that is worth the cost of admission alone. So definitely huge value. Where can people go to learn more about Business Action Labs?
Well, so there's a lot of products and things that we've produced at Entreholic. So so we set up a URL, entreholic.com, ENTREHOLIC, entreholic.com/launch, LAUNCH for all the listeners here. And on that, they can just put in their name and email. and it gives them a copy of the top 200 tools to fuel your business growth. So we have a team that researches and puts together a list every year of the top 200 tools in operations and finance and marketing. And they'll also get a free sample set of three videos from our Business Action Labs of some examples of kind of what we produce there for free. So they just go to entreholic.com/launch and put in their name, email, and they'll get a confirmation from us and kind of get a taste of it.
I love it. I love it. So now let's take a trip down memory road. Because the last time that you and I sat down for an interview, remember we were in the coffee shop?
Yeah, that's right. What, in downtown?
Downtown Alpharetta.
Yeah, that's right.
So something that I did, because I was maybe 6 months or so into the podcast, and I kept running into this issue of, you know, I had good intentions to keep like 4 episodes in the queue and always, you know, have it out. But schedules would ebb and flow. And sometimes I had a lot of episodes in the bank. And sometimes I was like, I have nothing. I need to record something with somebody. And I had this idea, like, I'll just do a day of interviews. And right. I made it an event and then invited people to pick their time slot. And there was this little conference room at the coffee shop so people could grab their coffee and just like hang around. And I think you were my last interview of the day, maybe, or something. I don't know. But I know that the newspaper came in.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Picture. Yeah.
That's right. One of my wife's friends saw it in the newspaper and said, took a picture of it and sent it to her.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that was right after the Marketing Mastery event that we did, where you came yeah. and you spoke. So, I mean, so much has happened since then, because that was in the early days of Entreholic as well.
Yeah, I just kind of, you know, launched that company. And so it was actually through EO, Entrepreneurs Organization, that I'm a member of it. As I've shared before, has been tremendous. So it's been an amazing group of people to be a part of. And I run the accelerator program for that, which is actually companies that are trying to get to the $1 million mark in 3 years. So if there's anybody out there listening that's interested in a system and a process to help accelerate that, let me know. But yeah, it's actually through EO. It was Johnson,
Johnson
Cook, yeah, mm-hmm. Who's just one degree of separation of anybody in this entire city, I think, at this point. Yeah, I did an intro via email, and then you and I grabbed coffee up at Thousand...
Mm-hmm. Hills?
Yeah, Thousand Hills, I think. Mm-hmm. And you were just at the beginning stages, and... told me you had your first event coming up. And so, yeah, it was great to be a part of it. Just see you take and, you know, when I talk about Business Action Labs, I mean, that's the whole reason, is about action. It's about so many excuses of moving things forward. It's about taking action today. And what I was impressed is, you know, from that conversation, I think within like 90 days, you had launched, developed, even got MailChimp as a sponsor very quickly to put on that event. And, you know, and the momentum has just, you know, continued, you know, since then, and just seeing your progress and how things have evolved. And, you know, now with the Woe deal that you've kind of put together, which is fantastic. Just been excited to see that momentum.
Thank you. Well, and it is an evolution. You know, I joke that it's like the eternal pivot.
Right.
Because, I mean, you set a goal and mm-hmm. you start moving towards it. But then new opportunities arise and new challenges arise and new information or doors are opened, and you have to give yourself the room to say, maybe this is a direction I need to go in, you know, and yeah. explore that. So yeah, things have just evolved. But there's 2 episodes ago, I actually shared with the listeners a speech that I did, the one at Sage Summit.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes. So I worked with our friend Gene Hammett.
Right.
Yes, on putting together a speech that has like been inside me, and I've given it in pieces. You know, pieces yeah. of it have appeared in different speaking engagements that I had to date, but Gene worked with me to really hone it, get it buttoned up for this big event, because Sage had over 5,000 attendees. Not all of them saw my speech, but but it was a big event, and I wanted to invest a little bit more time in that engagement. But you know, talking about that fast action, you know, I've noticed as I've looked back over my journey, the fast action has come when there's been an idea that has been in my head, but maybe at that point I'm like, you know what, that's probably like next year, next quarter. And then for whatever reason, and I joke that it's either a momentary lapse in judgment or a burst of confidence, but it's probably a little bit of both. I take that idea and I just say, you know what, we're focusing on this right now. And that's usually where that fast acceleration happens. So yeah, so it's like this, you got to push yourself to get uncomfortable. Yep. And I know that's been a big lesson for me as I look back. When it comes to you and your journey and the evolution that Entreholic has had and the pivots that you've made, you know, what would you pull out for the listeners as like a, you know, learn from me, you know, aside from be sure to outsource and leverage your time as best as possible?
You know, I always ask people, you know, even when I'm interviewing, it's like, if you could get up out of bed today and do that thing that you're most passionate about, what would it be? And if you had to get up out of bed today and do that thing that you hate and dread doing, what would that be? To really understand where, you know, where are people most motivated and driven? And being able to wake up and do what you're most passionate about every day. I know as cliche as it is, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of entrepreneurs I know that it's all about just, you know, creating an income stream, no matter whatever business that is. And for me in my 20s and the other companies I'd done, I wasn't necessarily as passionate about the subject matter. It was just about building and growing the company. But for me now, I just being able to really intersect doing, you know, generating an income in a career, but also doing something that you're truly, truly passionate about is definitely the target to try and hit ultimately, because the outcome, the quality of the product, the results will ultimately be that much better if you truly have a deep, you know, deep passion for it. And that's, so my evolution, even with Entreholic over the last, you know, year and a half, and just I've been wide open to see opportunities and how they've evolved, and even transitioning the company to where we are now has been what I really want to get up and do every day. What am I most passionate about and working with companies on? What things did I get up and were really frustrated with? And yeah, it was a good income, but you just beating your head against the wall and dealing with challenges. But try and find that path that you truly enjoy and also delivers, you know, economically. I know it's easier said than done. It's the old cliche, but it just, it's, I'm even 37 at this point as an entrepreneur and still need to be reminded of it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, cliche or not, like not enough people listen to that voice, you know, it's just like this programming that if you feel like it's what you want to do, if you feel like it lights you up, the second you kind of land on that, there's like a million different reasons that will pop up that will tell you why you can't do that. And society, you know, train, like if you're following your passion, then you're probably not going to make a lot of money. You know, that's like that artist, starving artist mentality.
It really is. And that's kind of the way that it's been structured.
And so there's a lot that is like kind of drilled into our subconscious that tells us, well, if you're enjoying it, then you're probably not actually going to make a lot of money. And so you need to kind of like reset. And obviously there is a whole lot more to building a successful business, to supporting yourself from your own business than just following your passion. The financial, you know, monitoring the income, you know, what's coming in versus what's going out, you know, there's all of that that has to be a part of that foundation. But if you can, you know, hone those skills and get yourself to a place where you are waking up and following your passion, then I don't think there's anything else that you could ask for. You should be very grateful in that moment for sure.
Well, and some specific tidbits, I mean, tactics around them. I mean, that's a general, you know, kind of guidance. But I mean, some specific things I would say is validate before you create, right? So just being very tactical. So when you're looking at launching something or building something, you know, using freelancers and outsourcers, I mean, you can validate an idea very quickly before you spend a bunch of money and time and waste your savings or cash in your 401k. You know, for example, my dad was looking at, you know, manufacturing children's play kitchens. He made some for my nieces and made these really nice quality furniture kitchens, but want to figure out, is there a market for that? Could you charge $1,000? So we hired a data scraper, scraped the entire web, and within a couple of days and for less than $50, we had a list of every single play kitchen manufacturer that there was out there to evaluate the market, price point, images of every single one of them. That's some of the crafty things you can do with freelancers to really validate what does a market look like before you create. We were looking at getting into the pet industry for social media. So I had them data scrape every competitor I had, download all their brochures off their websites, and got all of it done in, you know, 3 or 4 days for, you know, $75. So using good common sense and then some of these outsourcing techniques to validate before you create. Having an accountability group of some kind, whether it's just you and two or three other friends that are starting companies, or you do something like with what I know you've done, like with Whoa, like what we do with the Accelerator Program, or even more informal, but just have somebody that you answer to aside from yourself. We don't have a lack of discipline and work ethic, but we all have shiny ball problems, right? So having an accountability group that you can, you know, connect with, or two other the main things I would share with people.
Right. Yeah, definitely having that second set of eyes, no matter how gifted you are in seeing, you know, something for someone else, you are always going to have difficulty seeing the big picture for your own business. So you do need that second set of eyes and that input. And also, you know, not just surrounding yourself with people who are in the same camp as you, but also finding those mentors, those people that push you to think bigger, and they know that it's possible because they are that few steps ahead of you. And so that you can maybe borrow a little bit of their confidence as well.
Yeah, no, it always helps to get, I mean, I was just in a 2-hour meeting yesterday with a startup, and you know, they had a perception of kind of what their value proposition was going to be. And we were kind of working through it. It's kind of called Yaystack, that really cool. Yeah, I think
Trey was on here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Trey. Great product. It's really cool. It's this reward for sharing. So like all those promo codes that, you know, you get in an email. So instead of just companies giving those away for free, in order to be able to unlock that promo code, you have to share it with your entire social network.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have 1,000 emails that you're sending out with promo codes, now those people, to unlock those promo codes, they have to share it with their network. So I know my wife, like Lululemon, like she's getting an email and it says, this is the code to get a free shipping. She'll share with her whole network to get access to that code. So it's a really cool product. But, you know, just the value proposition and having some people in the room that were completely not a part of the organization at all were able to come up with some great perspectives on the value proposition that was far better than those that are kind of in the weeds sometimes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it makes a difference having different perspectives. And one other thing I would share is just create white space time for yourself.
100%.
To your point on the pivots, at the end of the day, if you don't create time for yourself to just sit and think.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me, airplanes and driving are two of those good places just to think. But honestly, sitting down, and I even like with my notepads, I got to where I don't even have lined notepads. I go to like Office Depot, buy blank sheets of paper and have them batched into groups of 100 and just sit like in a Starbucks for an hour and a half and just sit there with your pen and just think. Just let things wash over you of where you are, what's going on, all the million relationships and opportunities and things, and just start writing. And it's amazing how you'll come to clarity on some things, just creating that white space thinking time for yourself, which you almost have to schedule it in your calendar.
You do have to schedule it in your calendar. That's right. I always love going back to, you know, to old entries too, you know, to see like, what did I execute? What did I not execute? Is that still on my to-do list? You know, you need that time to reflect. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And have an operating system of some kind. You talk about executing. So four disciplines of execution with Franklin Covey is a big thing I'm a fan of. It's one of the most lean, innovative execution solutions that's out there to help you create 90-day plans. What's my key goals? What's my wildly important? What's the most important thing I need to do to get executed? And then the biggest thing that I think as entrepreneurs we forget about is focusing on the leading indicators a lot of times. It's those activities that you need to do. If you want to get X number of sales at the end of the month, well, book and have 10 meetings a week. Like regardless, just heads down, focus on that. If you focus on the leading indicators, the lags will kind of follow. And so much time we focus on sales, we focus on leads, which are what are the behaviors that you need to do on the front end to generate that outcome?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, just planning that, you know, the night before, outlining that most, you know, critical action that you need to take the next day so that you don't get into your day and firestorms take you in this direction or that direction. Hugely important, because time is our most valuable resource.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be wasting it.
It really is. I mean, you don't have much left, especially when you have kids and you start just seeing how fast that time goes. We got a little 15-month-old now and it's just gracious.
That's crazy. It's, oh my gosh. I remember when you just said that you guys were pregnant. So yeah. Wow, 15 months. That's amazing.
It really lets you see how fast time really does travel. So,
yeah.
She's actually the subject of a little entrepreneurial journey we're doing as well. We're doing a kind of a children's boutique line that we're working on. It's crazy with Shopify and how you can integrate with Oberlo and it automatically will populate it with all the products, drop ship for you and everything.
Okay, we'll talk after this.
That's crazy. Literally in the back of the car, driving back from spring break, I launched this whole thing for this little shopping boutique that we're putting together, ellamckinnon.com.
Oh my gosh, I love it. See, so, this is what you do. You just...
Can't help it. The more shiny balls. I'm sitting in the back of a truck for 6 hours driving home. I'm like, well, let's just start a business.
But at the same time, it's also that comes with the awareness of the tools that are at your fingertips and knowing how they connect. And then, I mean, you're not, like you said, you're not doing anything. you're just connecting this account to that account with this brand and letting it run itself. And there's so many companies that have popped up that allow you to do this. They're all about allowing you to make money, you know, by providing a product or service that you essentially white label, you know, and they connect the dots behind the scenes. So listeners, if you guys are like, I want a piece of that, seriously, this 200 tools is an incredible resource, because you might have some of the bigger tools in place. You might have your email marketing or your CRM, but there's so many smaller tools that can also take a lot off of your plate, or they can add in items that you're not doing right now, like automating handwritten notes and things like that. So check out entreholic.com/launch and you'll get all of that information. And we definitely want to hear how you're implementing it too. Brad, thank you so much for being here today. It was awesome to catch up. As you see, the studio is a little bit different now. We're out of the coffee shop, the back
room. You're in the big time.
A little bit. We do what we can. But it was great to catch up with you, have you here, and we'll see you back here probably soon, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Thank you very much. Great. And congratulations again on all your success. And look forward to seeing more to come.
All right. Thank you. Thank you to the listeners. And remember that today is a great day to face forward and mastermind your launch.